7:44 as Jacksonville's morning news continues live on location at the Prime Osborne Convention Center in the 30th annual Barber and Campbell Memorial Breakfast presented by Vistar Credit Union and Hubbard House. As we honor survivors and we also reflect on the lives that were lost to domestic violence. And, you know, I've been saying all morning, Christine, it's like we have these mixed emotions because there's joy in the survivors and yet there's heavy hearts for all of the hundreds who have lost their life to this awful crime in our community. And yet we're sitting here laughing with Melissa, who is a survivor, and it's just it's a fascinating combination and confliction of emotions. And Melissa, do you also find that as well, as you're wearing this beautiful smile this morning and we're laughing?
Yes, because you go from a place of no hope and fear and just complete trepidation to do anything to a place of freedom and joy and hopefulness. You go from one place to the other, so that mixture is kind of expected, I think.
Where did your journey begin?
So I met my abuser when I was 17, and we came from different backgrounds. I had a very close, loving family. He came from a family that physically fought with knives and guns and irons. That's how he grew up, and so I thought I could save him. You know, I think that domestic violence survivors and domestic violence itself looks very different to what is in our mind and our assumption, but we started out like as this young couple who was going to do great things, but even before I was married to him, he had abused me, and I still thought I could fix him because of the great family I came from and the good background and the loving home. I thought, well, he just needs some help. I can fix him.
And when did you realize that there was no fixing that was available and you were the one who needed the help?
Full transparency, I stayed with him for 15 years. So 15 years I was in that relationship, and we were like the great pretenders. We were very active in our church. We were very helpful to those around us in need. We had great friends and family, and I just continued to cover for him. And when I would have a broke bone or when I would have a cut or whatever it might be, bruises, I would always make an excuse and cover for him. And he knew me better than anybody at that time, and he took that character trait that I had of you know, a heart of service, a heart of wanting to protect, and he used it against me. He manipulated me, basically, with that personality trait. He said, now you've pretended for so long, nobody will believe you if you tell them.
Right. Did anyone along the way suspect anything?
No. Mm-hmm. I have friends that when I spoke, I think a couple of years ago at the Duval County, it might have been last year, at the Duval County Courthouse, when they released the annual report every October, I was privileged to speak there. And when I did, a girlfriend of mine who had been my friend since 10th grade called me, and she was bawling. And she's like, I was around you guys so much, I feel like I failed you. Mm. And I'm like, you didn't fail me. You did exactly what I wanted you to do, which was not know.
Right.
I tried to protect my friends and family from it as well. So,
did they express guilt?
They did. Oh, yes. I mean, literally, she was bawling. And even my sister and my parents, my dad, God love him, he passed 2 years ago, but he is a 30-year Navy veteran, Vietnam War, Desert Storm, like served our country so well. And so it's such a strong South Carolina kind of guy. And he probably, if he would have known, he'd end up in jail if I told him during that time. Yeah.
Where did guilt come in for you? At any point along the way?
I was that person who wanted to be the straight-A student, who didn't want to bring divorce into my family, who wanted to, you know, be that perfect daughter and perfect friend. And so I said a lot of that's really self-imposed stress and pressure on myself. And I know now, looking back, that if any time I would have went to my family or went to my friends or went to my church, they would have believed me. But, you know, the first step to me is you've got to get past believing the lies, because my abuser was a liar. Like, at the ultimate level, he was a liar. He told me that nobody would believe me, that because I was fat, nobody would want me, that because I had infertility issues and couldn't have children, no man would ever want me. He told me that our church would kick me out. Like, and you hear that, and I'm such a confident person that when people find out later, they're like, how did you? Like, you always were bubbly and talking. But you allow yourself to be manipulated, or not allow yourself, but you are manipulated, and you believe those lies that they tell you. And after you hear it for so long, you think it's true. You become a different person, you know. I think that's the thing, is you really become a different person.
Or you hide the real person that's inside of you.
Yes, 100%, 100%.
Are you able to share with us what the one thing was that made you finally take the step to go?
Yes, I am. I'm very, very aware that what happened that finally gave me my voice and allowed me to speak with the truth was one night the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office came to our house, And when the JSO came, and I will forever be indebted to them, a Jacksonville sheriff's officer took me to the Hubbard House. And I didn't stay. I met an advocate who helped me find my voice, who helped me find the truth. And it was at that point that I started to unravel everything and to speak and to tell my friends and family and to be able to make a plan out and to get away. But it really was because of the JSO. I whenever I see an officer, even at that table a while ago, I'm like, I just want you to know to please keep doing what you're doing, because I survived. You were my path to safety to the Hubbard House. The Hubbard House advocate believed me immediately, no judgment, no questions. Believed me, helped me to learn how to speak about it, helped me to learn how to tell my family, helped me with a safety plan.
From that first point, that first interaction, to you finally achieving the safety plan, what was the length of time?
It was probably, I'd say 2 years. It took me a long time. It took me a while. I still had that feeling, that a feeling of guilt, that because I was raised with a good family, I had good resources, and he did not, I still was like, I wanted to end this the right way. But finally it ended up where I was basically held hostage in my own house, and he came and destroyed everything that I had with a set of golf clubs that I had, and like, just, you know, it was too much. And then even after he left, he was like looking in my windows and stalking me around town, and so it just became a lot.
Only because I'm getting angry and I can feel the blood boiling in me, what happened to him?
He's still here in town, and just nothing. So people say, are you nervous? Are you scared when you speak out? Because I've been, you know, on the news and spoken before. And I'm not. I have a really strong faith, and I'm not afraid. Now, in full honesty, if he came walking in this room right now, my heart would be, my palpitation. I'd look for safety, for exits. I've learned those things. But I can't live in fear, and I can't not speak about it, and I can't not remind women that there's hope, women and men, any, you know, any person that's in that situation. The most important thing for me, and what my message really is all about, is hope. There's hope. Like, you can get out. You can have freedom. You can keep your children. You can be financially sound, and people will believe you. And to me, that's the hardest part, is that you believe that nobody's going to believe you because you've become such an imposter yourself. And so it's so hard to think, people are going to believe me. My family and my friends, they love me. This advocate at Hubbard House, who doesn't even know me, is going to help me. She believed me right away. And so I think that it's just really letting people know that there is hope, and that whoever is abusing you is a liar.
I'm so happy you brought that part up about feeling like an imposter yourself, because you really have to go through the process of trying to get back to who you were before.
Yes.
And then being stronger than that person.
Yes, yes. You know, and not, I was so funny, because when I first started at the Hubbard House, and Stephanie Brown was helping me tell my story and helping me get the words right, because I will just talk, I'm super transparent, I'll tell you everything anytime. But and so when I was, she was first helping me get my story in an organized way to be able to share it at a particular event, she said, look at your words. She was so educational to me, because she said, Stephanie said, look at the words that you're using. I did this, or I did this. She said, you didn't. She said, he did this. Your abuser did this. He manipulated you. You didn't fall for something. He manipulated. He purposely took your character trait and twisted it against you. And so it really, even at that point, all those years later, I'm now happily married, you know, almost 21 years, and in a second marriage. And she said, even after all this time, do you see the words that you're still using? It was very enlightening.
It's great to talk with you, because you're so bubbly, you're so intelligent, you're so well-spoken, and I think a lot of people would go, she's the last person I would have expected.
I have to tell you, I think that's one point that's really important to me, is that domestic violence doesn't have a look. It doesn't have a race, it doesn't have a gender, it doesn't have a socioeconomic, you know, status on it, applied to it. I think that you don't know what's going on inside a house. You may think you do. You may be best friends with somebody. You may be, like I told you, my girlfriend called me just bawling. It could be your family member. You just don't know. But when somebody does come to you and tells you, first believe them. I promise you, I saw this meme one time, and it was an iceberg. And the tip of it, of course, was the only part out at the top. And it says, when somebody tells you about their abuse, know that they're only telling you a portion. Mm. That there are things that they can maybe can never speak. And I think that's so true. I mean, there's things that, you know, I remember, like, somebody will say, why are you still scared sometimes? And I'm like, unless you're a woman who's been hit full force in the head by a man's fist, or unless you've had a knife at you, or unless you've been kicked with steel-toed boots, like, you don't know that feeling. And it causes you to behave in a way that's not your normal way.
And you can be a man who's suffering from domestic violence as well. I know a story of a man who was repeatedly hit in the head with a frying pan by his then wife.
And the way that our culture is it's even, to me, I think it's possibly more difficult for them to seek help because you know how our society is. Like, men are supposed to be able to handle it. But goodness, let the police come and there's a man and a woman fighting, and it's so hard for that man to say, like, this is what she's doing to me. So I could definitely see that as being very difficult for them. But there are survivors of every gender and every race and every economic situation.
Read that phone number for us, Melissa.
Oh, sure.
Could you?
Yes. So the 24-hour hotline is 904-354-3114. And the cool thing about the domestic violence hotlines is that there's an escape route. So if you go into a website, you can immediately, it won't save it to your history. There's an exit. So if you are trying to do it and you're not in a safe place and something happens, you can immediately close that out. They're very protective. They won't ever like call you back and be like, hey, this was the hotline calling to check on you. Like, they're not going to do that. They're very smart and well-trained in how to protect your safety. And I think that's so important.
And in the break, we had asked Stephanie, you know, how do they answer the phone?
Yes.
Because, you know, so many people who are victims of domestic violence, their phones are checked.
Correct.
By
Correct.
Their
oh, yes.
controlling
oh,
other,
yes.
you know. And so she said they answer it. Hi, this is so-and-so. Are you safe to talk?
Yes. Yes.
So it doesn't say, hi, this is, you know, the domestic violence abuse
even to
hotline.
Even to this day, Stephanie and the Hubbard House are so good about that. Like, when I'm speaking two places this week, and they even in the email she sends me and on my phone call, even though we've been friends now for years, she'll say, listen, as always, I want to make sure you're comfortable. She said, you know, this is a large radio station. This is going to have a good impact and audience. Like, I want to make sure, are you still safe? Are you still comfortable speaking about your story? They check with me every single time.
We'll give you the last word, Melissa, and you're incredibly strong, an absolute inspiration. One in three people in America are in an abusive relationship. Someone who's listening right now and doesn't know what to do, I'll give you that word to reach through the radio. What message would you want that woman, man, teenager to hear?
I think the main message is that there is hope, that you can get out, that you can be free, that everything that's being whispered in your ear or screamed in your face is a lie, and that there is a way out, and that there's people that will believe you immediately. And just to stay safe, be smart, but do everything you can do when you're ready to get out of that situation while you can.
And you have so many resources, the Hubbard House in Jacksonville and Duval County and Baker County, 904-354-3114. You're a beautiful woman with a beautiful smile and an incredible story, and thank you for sharing it with us this morning.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. It's 7:54. That was a question.
Seven?
Sorry, Scott. I always say Scotty Young is the executive producer. He keeps the train running on time. Not now, man. We're coming up on the 8 o'clock hour with incredible stories here at the 30th Annual Barbara Ann Campbell Memorial Breakfast, celebrating survivors of domestic violence, honoring victims, raising funds, and really raising awareness in our community. Jacksonville's Morning News continues.